Hey guys, and welcome back to the Salt Not Sweetener podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Townsend, and today we are going to discuss following God, making the choice to follow God. And there's a little bit of a twist on this, okay? Because I'm more referring to choosing to follow God after you've already spent a while following Him. Sometimes we're faithful and we've been following God for a while. We've been glorifying Him. We see how He's moving in our lives. And then we're faced with a temptation. We're faced with a period of suffering. We're faced with an encouragement to walk away. And we have to make the active choice to continue to follow God. Now, I'm going to share with y'all some scriptural. I'm going to share with y'all just a little snippet here from the Bible that I've seen in the book of Ruth. And I'm also going to share with y'all some personal experience and personal testimony that I've recently had with this. I was one of those people who said, I'm never going to be tempted to walk away. Like, I'm never going to be tempted, any of that. And lo and behold, I have very well also faced that temptation during a period of suffering. So, yeah, let's get in. Let's get in on this, y'all. I was recently reading the book of Ruth, rereading the book of Ruth. And every time I've read the book of Ruth in the past, most of the time my mind more gravitates towards the relationship between Ruth and Boaz and pulling from that. But that was not what I was drawn to when I was reading this. What I was actually drawn to recently when I was reading this was Ruth's commitment to Naomi, which in turn was her commitment to God, right? Just to give you a little bit of background with Ruth. Ruth is a Moabite, okay? And with my understanding of the Moabites, they were not just they were worshiping false gods. They had their own we'll just say not everything was very pleasing to the Lord, okay? They had their own separate gods. They had their own thing that they were doing. The Moabites can be traced back to Lot and his daughters, is my understanding as well. So yeah, Ruth is a Moabite. She is from the land of Moab, okay, from the territory of Moab. And there is this woman named Naomi, okay, who has a husband and she has two sons, and they go to stay in the territory of Moab for a while there's famine in their own land. And while they're there, her two sons, they marry two women. Okay, and one of them is Ruth, and the other one, if I'm pronouncing her name correctly, is Orpah. Okay, and they lived there for about 10 years, and then they died. Both of the sons and Naomi's husband died. So all that was left was Naomi and these two children, these two daughter-in-laws, right? Because her two children died, so her husband dies. And both her sons die. This is a woman that has just experienced extreme loss. Okay, like not only just relation loss, losing her husband, losing her partner in life, and then losing both of her sons. We also have to think she has also lost the husband was like the leader of the household. He was the one that was supposed to be bringing in the money. Like she has lost that as well. Like she has suffered a lot of loss. And then she's left with these two daughters-in-law. And this is what she starts to say to these daughters-in-law. Naomi, we're going to read in chapter 1, verse 8. Naomi said to them, "Each of you go back to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to the dead and to me. May the Lord grant each of you rest in the house of a new husband." She kissed them and they wept loudly. They said to her, "We insist on returning with you to your people." But Naomi replied, "Return home, my daughters. Why do you want to go with me? Am I able to have any more sons who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters, go on, for I am too old to have another husband, even if there was still hope for me to have a husband tonight and to bear sons, would you be willing to wait for them to grow up? Would you restrain yourselves from remarrying? No, my daughters, my life is much too bitter for you to share. Because the Lord's hand has turned against me." Again, they wept loudly. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Follow your sister-in-law." I want to highlight here where she said she has gone back to her people and her gods. And by taking context, okay, we're looking at context clues here. The fact that she had to go back to her gods means there is a period where she has left her gods for a while. Keep in mind, these women have married men who worship the God of Israel. So we can assume that Ruth and Orpah, during this time of being married to these men, have left behind their previous worship of the gods that they worshipped while they were, just Moabite women, and have picked up the worshiping of the God of Israel. And here Ruth, and here Naomi is telling Ruth and Orpah, there's nothing left for you here. There's no point in staying with me. You guys aren't going to have good lives. At least if you go home, you'll have the opportunity to rebuild lives, to get married again, to be provided for, to have all these things. She's like, go back. Go back. And we see her acknowledging, hey, Orpah left. And she's going back to worshiping her old gods. Why don't you do that too? And let's look at Ruth's response. Ruth goes on to say, don't plead with me to abandon you or to return and not follow you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord punish me and do so severely if anything but death separates you and me. And right there, Ruth is making a commitment to Naomi, saying, my loyalty lies with you. I am sticking with you. And in swearing her loyalty to Naomi, she is making a commitment to God and saying, your people will be my people, your God will be my God. She is making a commitment right then and there to the God of Israel that I will worship you. I will follow you. I will keep your commandments. I will keep your statutes. Her commitment to Naomi is also a commitment to God. So we can assume that if Orpah has left her gods temporarily and was worshiping the God of Israel and going back to her old gods, that Ruth has also, for a time period, been worshiping the God of Israel. And she now is having the opportunity. And keep in mind, she has just lost a husband. She's lost a brother-in-law. She's lost a father-in-law. She has lost that protection, that guide, right, that her husband is supposed to be. She's probably in such a space of pain right now, too. And she's being told, you can leave this. You can go back. But she is making the active choice of, no, I'm committing my life to God. I'm committing myself to being grafted in to the people of Israel, which is actually like a, this is like a, we're seeing this before Jesus Christ comes in, because that's what Jesus Christ did too, isn't it? When he came here, when, the Jewish community rejected him. The Gentiles, we were grafted in by faith. By faith, we become God's people. We become Israel, right? By putting our faith in Jesus Christ and what he did, we are also new creations in Christ. This is kind of like a pre, you can kind of see like Ruth doing this, putting her faith in the God of Israel. She's being grafted in, right? This is kind of like a pre-situation, kind of like setting the stage almost when you look at it. But this was Ruth making that choice of I'm going to follow you. And when we go on, we can see Naomi's kind of bitter, all right? Because you can already see from what we've read where she says like God has saying like it's clear that the Lord's hand is turned against me. Well, it goes on here in verse 20 of chapter 1, where Naomi is saying to the people who are greeting her, saying, can this be Naomi? She's saying, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made me very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has opposed me and the Almighty has afflicted me? You see here that she has a lot of her bitterness, and she's blaming God for a lot of the suffering. And we know that we live in a fallen world, and that the source of like this pain and this suffering and this loss, we know not to blame God for that. Okay, God is good and all-encompassing. Does he allow things to happen? Yes. And we can't always explain and fully understand why he allows things to happen, but we have to trust that God is going to use all things for our good. But we can see here how Naomi has some choice words, and she's not exactly speaking positively of God. You know, she's actually very bitter and upset. She's saying, you know, I went away. When I went out of this land, the land of Moab, I had everything. I had everything. I was full. But now I'm coming back to this space and I feel empty. I have had so much loss and so much suffering. I wonder if there's some embarrassment she's facing. You know, when she left, she had everything. And now she's returning, and the people who saw her appear to have everything when she left. When she's coming back, she looks like she has nothing. I wonder if there's an embarrassment there and if there's some bitterness coming out of that too, right? There can be a lot of different things, but she's feeling some type of way towards God. And what's interesting is we see throughout the book of Ruth how Ruth's decision to stay with Naomi and to commit herself to following God, how that decision is blessed. And that's blessed by Boaz, right? God is really moving through Boaz. You know, she's provided for it because Boaz is basically protecting her. He's going out of his way to make sure that she has everything that she needs. Like, God is providing for her and using Boaz as a vessel. So we see that Ruth's choice to follow God, he is very faithful towards her. But we see that God is also faithful towards Naomi. Even after Naomi has all these things to say and this bitterness in her heart, God uses Ruth to be a blessing to Naomi. Because all the things that Naomi is receiving through Boaz, we can imagine her and Naomi living together is trickling down to Naomi, right? All the things that she's gleaning in the field, she's bringing back. Naomi is being taken care of by God through Ruth and through Boaz. Even though Ruth had these moments of anger, and even though Naomi had these moments of anger and bitterness, God was still faithful and God still loved her and God was still showing grace. And this is now where I'm going to transition into my personal testimony with y'all, because it wasn't very long ago I was honestly feeling some type of way towards God. And I didn't think I was able to get to this point, because honestly, y'all, I grew, y'all know my background, grew up in the church, but I didn't give my life to Christ until September of 2024. It's now late October of 2025. It's been a little over a year, and I have shared so many times about the amazing things. It's clear that God has moved in my life. The hand of God has been evident. I have shared miracles. I have shared so much growth. I cannot say that God has not done anything for me. And that be truth. The truth is God has done miraculous things in my life. And God has been so faithful. And that God has kept many promises. That is the truth. And we know from reading the Word of God, different promises, we know God's character when we read the Bible, that He's faithful, that He hears the righteous when they cry out. That though the righteous may fall, he picks them back up. We see time and time again examples of God's character. But sometimes we start believing lies of the enemy. And when we start believing lies of the enemy, we start to entertain thoughts and say things that just aren't true. And recently, y'all, there have been a couple areas in my life that I wasn't very happy with, in all honesty. I started looking at these areas in my life and I'm like, God, like, I know you've done a lot for me already, but shouldn't we be further than where we're at right now? Like, there were some areas in my life I was like, haven't I been praying about this thing to be like improved? And y'all, when I'm in the headspace I'm in right now and I'm looking at it, I'm like, this is drastically improved from 3 months ago. And then from that, 6 months ago, way more improved. Like when I look at, like, there has been improvement, but God has been taking it one step at a time, slowly growing, slowly developing. And there were some areas where I was like, There's just a part of me that was not satisfied. Where I was like, God, you've given me some big visions. Like, when I look at what those areas look like now, yes, God has done exceedingly and abundantly, but he has given me visions of so much more. It's like when you know that God intends to do so much more, or there is a capability of it growing into so much more, that like you're looking at it and you're like, yeah, this is awesome, and this is so much more than I used to have. And this is an answered prayer, but it's nowhere near what I'm expecting it to be one day. And y'all, that started turning into a space of lack for me, where instead of like being grateful for just having that and being a good steward over it and delighting over it, I was like, when are we gonna expand, God? When is this gonna grow? When am I gonna have this promise? And I found myself starting, it turned into, when I tell y'all, an entire day of weeping. Like, I was uncontrollably ugly crying. Like, y'all, like, I was ugly crying. Like, my mascara was all down my neck. Like, it was so bad. And since I've followed the Lord, since I've committed my life to him last year, there is only, I would say, maybe two other instances that have come to mind when I have gotten to this point emotionally. And each time I'll say that, like, I have seen a move of God in my life. I have seen him, like, he has spoken to me. I have seen things. I know that God has heard me when I was in these moments. And they're not moments like I'm proud of, but I knew that God heard me in these moments. And I was just crying and weeping. And I started saying to God, how much longer are you going to make me wait? I have been waiting for some of these things years, years. Because although I started, yet I committed my life to God and to submit my life to him last year, there were some things that I have been waiting since like 2020, 2022, 2023, when it was before I got pushed in, before I even got into like new age, before that whole era started in my life, right? There were some things that I believed were going to happen in my life. There were some things that I believed, and I started waiting on those things. There are some very big things that have yet to happen. And I started crying out to God, where I'm like, God, I've been waiting so long. Where I'm like, how much longer? Because y'all, there was a part of me that I was like, quit stirring up this desire for this thing in me, God, if I can't have it. And like, honestly, y'all, that was what I was crying out to God. There were some things that years ago I didn't desire for myself, I didn't want for myself. But then God started stirring up the desire for this thing in me. And he started growing me as a person and preparing me to be a good steward over it. He gave me the desire and he took me through the process. And I started crying out to God, where it's like, you know, recently I felt him really speaking about these promises to me, saying like, hey, these are things I have in store for you. And I started saying, but God, you told me that 2 months ago too. And you were telling me that 4 months ago and 6 months ago and 8 months ago and a year ago. And God, I feel like you remind me of these things and you stir this desire in me and you get me ready for these things. And I get so excited. And then I'm waiting on you and I'm trying to be obedient and I'm looking out for what you want me to do. And then it doesn't come. And then there's another lesson. And then there's another period that I have to go through of growth and of all these things. And like, I started crying out to God, where I was like, take the desire away from me. And I started saying, if I can't have it, take this desire away, because it hurts so much to want this thing and understand that, like, I can't do it myself. You're not telling me to do it myself. You're giving me the vision. You're placing the desire in me, but I understand that it's not something that you are calling me to seek myself or build for myself. That in fact, like, seeking some of these things myself or trying to do some of these things myself is very much out of your will. I'm waiting on you, God, but I don't see it. And that, honestly, y'all, was the root of where my discontentment was really at, was I felt like God kept stirring up desires for promises in my heart, and then I wasn't seeing these desires. I felt like my life was getting shaken up to test me, so I can learn and be prepared and be a good steward. Glory be to God. I don't want him to give me anything if I'm not prepared. But I was like, how much longer? Like, how much longer? And I started saying, if it's not that I'm not ready, if it's that person or that thing isn't ready, remove the desire. And I know God gave me a desire for a reason, but y'all, that was what was going on in my head, was I was like, this is too painful to want something and then to be told, but I'm not telling you to go find it or to go wait. I'm just telling you to know that I plan on giving this to you one day, to prepare and to believe that I'm going to do this in your life. And the Lord has, you know, shown me multiple times before that, like, he'll reveal things to me and place a desire long before he intends to bring that up, to kind of get you used to the idea and to get you to start preparing for that thing and to get you ready for that thing. So, like, it's like I get the process and it makes sense, but it's painful. And it turned into, y'all, honestly, me crying and saying, God, have I not done? I know I'm not perfect, but have I not done all the things that you've called me to do? Like, there are some painful things. There are things you've called me to let go of that I didn't want to let go of, and I did. There are things that you have called me to say no to when I didn't want to say no, and I said no. There are things that I waited on when I started saying this out loud to God, and I'm not proud of this, y'all. But I know that there are other people thinking this and feeling this and need to hear that there are other people who love God. And not to toot my own horn, y'all, but I believe I have been pretty faithful up until this point with following God once I surrendered my life to him. And I'm telling y'all that I even hit this point as a way to say that there are so many other people out there right now that may be hitting this point in their walk with Christ. I'm telling y'all that how you react and if you choose to go to God or not is so important. So there's so many people I know that are hitting this point that may just be embarrassed to confess it out loud or to say it out loud, or may feel like they're the only person. I'm saying this out loud today so you know that you're not the only person, okay? I started saying to God, I was like, God, you realize I don't have to wait. And again, y'all, I'm not proud of saying this because I know that these thoughts weren't from God. Because I know the fruits of the Spirit are patience, are self-control, that we are supposed to wait on God. We're not, Jesus is the vine, the Father, the vine dresser. We are not supposed to do anything apart from him. That is scriptural, okay? But I started saying, I was like, some of these things, God, that I'm waiting on, I have had so many opportunities to not wait. You know, to give y'all an example with a husband, I'm waiting for my godly, but I have had a lot of people in the DMs. I have had a lot of opportunities to step out. I have had a lot of people from my past where I'm like, God, I don't have to be single. I don't have to be. Like, I could pick up, I could say yes to these dates. I could respond to these DMs. I could be doing, but I'm not, because I know this isn't the person that's for me. Like, I know that these past opportunities isn't who you have for me, which is why I've said no, is because I know that you have told me to say no. I have said no out of obedience. But I started saying, like, I don't have to. Like, I don't have to be waiting like this. I started saying with some of the other things where I've been waiting on God to open up the door instead of me trying. I started saying, I don't have to. But I'm going to tell y'all what that translates to, in all honesty. I don't have to be obedient. I can choose to disobey. That was actually what I was saying. I was saying that I was upset with the current outcome of my obedience to God. And I was saying, I don't have to obey you, God. I could step out and create something for myself. That was what I was actually saying in my anger. And I felt justified in my anger. But when I looked back at it later, I was like, all I was really saying was, I'm obeying you, God, and I don't have to obey you. I could go sideways. I could break out and do what I want to do. And like I said, y'all, I'm not proud of that because that's not righteous. Okay, that's not Christ-like. That is not the mentality that you want to walk in. But I know that there are a lot of other people out there. And I want to tell y'all what was kind of interesting of what triggered this is I was already having these lack feelings, but what started was I went out shopping for a couple of things. And in all honesty, now a couple of those things were justified. I was going to need those things soon, but there were some other things I bought that I didn't need to buy. And I kind of felt like I was just spending money to spend money. And I didn't need to be doing that. And I felt kind of convicted with that. And when I got home, I realized I left one of those bags behind at the store. And you know how, like, you're already feeling a lot of emotions, and it's just one inconvenient thing happens that just causes these emotions to overflow? That was my trigger. I started crying where I was like, I went all the way to the store and got those things and got back and like, I left the bag there and I'm gonna have to drive back there. And I was telling myself, I'm not gonna go back there and get it. And then later on, when I realized that one of, because at first I was saying, well, it was a thing I didn't actually need in that bag and it was only $5, so it's not worth it. And then I started realizing one of the things I actually needed. was in that bag that I left behind at the store. So yeah, I do have to drive back and get it. And I did drive back and get it. But that was actually what started it. What started the whole was something that I felt convicted about. And it felt like something so small. And that's where I started crying out to God, where I was like, well, it's what started a whole spiral was me feeling convicted. Because I kind of felt like I stepped a little bit out of obedience of what God was calling me to do in that time period. So at the root of it was I was dissatisfied because I felt like God wasn't fulfilling the promises on the timeline that I set in my mind. In my mind, these promises should have been delivered on now. In my mind, if I did all these steps of obedience, I would have everything already. So, like I was putting God on a timeline. And I was making his promises dependent on whether or not I fulfilled in these areas of obedience. I was making it works based. And yes, like we do need to walk in obedience to see some blessings from the Lord. There are some things where he's like, hey, if you're not being obedient to me, how can I bless you with this? But the Lord has really revealed to me that in my mind, I started to make these promises just very well. The second I complete these, like God has a specific list of obedience tasks, and once I complete these, it's just going to be here, and it's God's just waiting on my obedience. And he's been revealing to me like I never gave that; that wasn't the plan. Like, I'm not on your timeline. Like, I feel like God is really telling me like I will deliver in my timing. Maybe things aren't ready yet. Maybe you're not ready yet. Maybe there are other things being lined up. And I yesterday was just getting more and more bitter, y'all. And I was just crying and crying and crying. And I started saying out loud, I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to pray. I know I'm supposed to pray right now. I know this is the time I'm supposed to be going to you. And I was still talking out loud to God. I was like, but I don't want to. I don't want to hear any more of your promises. I don't want to hear how good you are. I know you're good. And I know that your goodness isn't dependent on how I feel and what my life looks like. I know no matter what, you're good. I was saying all these truths out loud. And I was like, but it's hard for me to believe them. And I remember I was scrolling on, I started just scrolling to distract myself. And that this time I started recognizing, I was like, okay, these are not thoughts from God coming at me. Because I've shared with y'all my sobriety convictions before. I started having thoughts of like, because in the past, when I would get so emotionally overwhelmed and couldn't stop crying, that was when I would just want a glass of wine. And that's where my mind started going is like, maybe I just need a glass of wine. Like, let's just get, I just dissociate, detach. And I immediately caught it and I was like, that's not a from God thought, because I have major sobriety convictions. And I, up until this point, have not had that temptation. So I know that what's going on right now isn't from God. This is a spiritual warfare situation. This is attack. This is an attack on my faith. This is me believing lies of the enemy. And it started kind of pulling me back, right? And then I was scrolling on TikTok, just trying to like get my mind off of things. And there was a video of the sermon, and this guy, it started off with saying, "You're dangerously close to turning your back on God right now." And I immediately paused it. And that was like an overwhelming in me of just recognizing I'm at a pivotal point in my walk with Christ right now. I'm in all of these emotions. Where am I about to go? Am I going to turn to God and put my faith in God? Or am I going to listen to the temptations and turn away? I've already seen what life looks like when I walk in disobedience to the Lord. I've already seen what life looks like. I've shared that testimony lots of times. When I turned away from God, I've seen how sad and unfortunate life is when you feel like God's hand has been removed from your life. I can't even imagine what eternal separation hell feels like. And I recognized, oh my gosh, like this is the pivotal moment. Do I turn to God? Or do I return to my old idols? Because that's when I started looking. I was like, all of a sudden I had thoughts in my head of turning back to drinking. I had thoughts of turning back to doom scrolling. I had thoughts of like going back to the dating apps and finding the husband myself, like doing all these. And I started thinking, oh my gosh, I'm having all these temptations to go back to my old, in quotation marks, gods, my old idols, to walk away from serving the God that I have been serving and go back to serving myself. Go back to serving these gods. Go back to serving these idols. I have a choice right now. Like, what choice am I gonna make? And I'm not saying y'all that instantly I was like in like an I'm on fire for God in the best mood ever, but I was kind of pulled out of a funk. And I started getting back. I started reading my Bible. I started reading the book of Ruth, and that was where I was led. And I was able to make those connections of, and I kind of felt relatable to Ruth in that moment, right? Of like, Ruth made that decision to follow. She was told by Naomi, "You have no hope here. Like, there is no life for you here. Go back to your old situation." And y'all, that was kind of what the lies from the enemy were telling me was, "Well, you've been waiting this long and you still haven't seen these promises. You've been waiting for a long time. You've been faithful for a long time. And like, look, you could have it if you go back to your old methods, if you go back to your old." And I had to make that choice of, no, I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue to seek God. And I'm going to continue to put my faith in Him. I'm going to continue to put my faith in His promises. And I'll tell y'all that I actually saw some blessings from God pretty soon after. Like I saw Him move in some pretty awesome ways. And when I went back to that store, just a side note, y'all, to get that bag, the same cashier was still at the cash register, and my bag was sitting with a pretty little post-it note on it that was mine, just right there on the desk waiting for me to come back and get it. And it had all my items, and I was prepared to have to show my receipt and everything, but nope, she remembered me and everything. And when I got back in the car, I remember saying to God, I was like, "God, I know this. To me, this is just the fact that it was just sitting up there and she was smiling and recognized me, and here you go." And I was preparing for having to like show my receipt and explain everything. And the fact that like I was like, "God, you thank you." I was just like, "Thank you. I know it doesn't look like a big deal to other people, but to me, I just called it kind of saw your hand in that situation of how it was just sitting there ready for me to go." And that translates for me a little bit over to the grace and the faithfulness that he showed Naomi. Because as I said, y'all, I end up seeing some real blessings from God later in the day. After, I was repenting to God and asking for forgiveness, and I've spent some definite time doing that. And I saw that he was still faithful to me. I was like, "Dang, God, even right after that whole situation, you're giving me some of these were amazing blessings, community blessings." God expanded my community, a Christian community. It was wonderful. And I was like, "Yeah, thank you, Lord." Because actually, y'all, what's interesting is I feel like, and I'll share an update with you later on. I know that God's going to use us to do more things in my life. Amen. Because there are some more things that he was working on, kind of rewiring in me and healing in me recently. You know, I've been working on just a thing of like overcoming fear of imperfection, and overcoming fear of displeasing God. And I've shared with y'all many times over that God usually exposure therapies me. And this was probably one of the most extreme forms of like imperfection I've had in a while, of, you know, feeling like I'd been so good in my faith and like praying to God and taking things to God. And then all of a sudden I have this bitterness and this anger, and I'm saying these things to God, and having these thoughts. And I see his grace and his mercy and his love and his faithfulness shown to me is actually kind of helping me overcome my fear of imperfection and helping me to see how God is loving and he is faithful. And he is graceful and he is forgiving. And I was actually reading some scripture this morning in regards to like repenting. It was in Psalm, I believe it was Psalm 32 that I read on TikTok today, which was just about asking God for forgiveness and how he forgives his people. And I really need to hear that. And you know, that I want to speak that to you today, that when you repent and when you cry out to God and ask him for forgiveness, he forgives you. Y'all, it was the same day that I saw him bless me and move in my life, and I really honestly needed to see that. I've been praying to God recently of, God, let me see your grace, let me see your love, let me see your hand in my life. And that was, I think, the way God knows how we need to see him, and I needed to see his forgiving side. And I feel like I needed to go through that experience of being forgiven again, and seeing love in a time when maybe I didn't deserve all the love and the grace that he showed me. Just keep in mind, y'all, I didn't have to go through and do all these reparations and everything for him to bless me first. I literally just recognized and repented, and like I saw his hand in my life immediately. And it wasn't even like a big, huge prayer, sitting down, repenting. Like I prayed about it more later on. It was more of a just like, oh gosh, I was wrong. And I started just kind of getting in my Bible again. And my heart placement kind of shifting. And God was ready with open arms. It reminds me of the prodigal son. Ready for you to come home. I was only drifting away for a couple hours, but man, those were some heavy hours. And I hope this helps you today listening to this. Because like I said, y'all have seen my walk. Especially here on the podcast, I'm glorifying God. I'm talking about all these things he's done in my life. And yet when I was in that bad headspace, I started believing the lies of the enemy. And I started saying some things to God that I know aren't true. But he still showed me mercy. He still showed me forgiveness. And he's still allowing me to speak to y'all today. Amen. Like, he's still allowing me to record this podcast episode today. Glory be to God. Amen. Not that I'm deserving, not that I'm worthy, but glory be to God. You know, recently I've been seeing it everywhere. People have been saying it in conversation. There's been so many things of God gives and God can take away. Just as quickly as he gives, he can take it away. And I feel like I had that underlying fear a lot recently of like, if I take a foot out of line, God's going to rip it all away. And even though like I know that's not what he's doing, that's what the fear says to me. And I feel like I really needed this with God today, or recently, y'all. It wasn't today that it happened, but it was very recent. Whereas, like, I kind of needed that moment of, I've been walking with God, and I took a foot out of line, a big step. And he didn't rip it all away. He didn't condemn me. He forgave me. And he showed me love and faithfulness. He still showed me blessing. I've talked to you all a bit before about my exposure therapy when it comes to how God heals things in me, and I feel like this was an exposure therapy moment that was very much needed, and I thank God for it. I know I'll be stronger for it, and I know there's even more that there's going to be for me to reflect on and take out of this. And I pray that this helps y'all today. And I do encourage you, go read the book of Ruth. There's not many chapters. It's a pretty short book. It's a really good book. And remember that God's word is a living word, So every time you read it, there's going to be something new that stands out. Just like how I told you the past couple times when I was reading the Book of Ruth, I always focused more on Ruth and Boaz and her, just doing what she's needing to do and taking one step at a time and allowing God to align things and place you where you need to be. And that was what I always took out of it. And this time I'm reading it and I'm throwing that stuff to the wayside. Instead, I'm paying attention to how she chose to follow God when given the opportunity to walk away. And that's what stood out to me this time. And this was, y'all, I felt a little bit like Ruth. Once I started reading that, I was like, dang. Naomi was saying, you have nothing here, go back. I was getting the same whispers. And this is my encouragement to y'all today. Make the choice to follow God anyway. You know the truth of God. You know who God is, what his character is, you know his promises. Don't let what your circumstances look like or what you're feeling in the moment be taken as truth. Our feelings are not truth. Should we pay attention to our feelings, like reflect on them, kind of look at, hey, where are these coming from? Sure, that's a good thing to do. But we should not take our feelings as truth. We shouldn't take our fears as truth. We shouldn't take our anxieties as truth. Faith isn't certainty. Okay, when you're walking by faith, you're not walking by certainty and saying, well, everything around me looks like what God says. So that's no. Faith is believing but not seeing it. It's trusting in what God says, even if your surroundings don't look like it. Okay, and I'm gonna tell y'all right now, my surroundings don't always look like the promises of God. But I can tell you right now that every time my surroundings have not looked like what He said, they turned into what he said. Okay. I can tell y'all right now that the leading up to God delivering on a breakthrough, delivering on a blessing, sometimes actually looks the opposite. If y'all remember that testimony I've shared with you before of how I had financial breakthrough that moved me back from California back to Indiana, the weeks leading up to that, the months leading up to that did not look like I was about to see God's hand over my life. If anything, it looked like a lot of things were being removed. It looked like I was having to surrender a lot of things. A lot of things were being shaken up. And if I put faith in what my surroundings looked like over what God said, I wouldn't have had a lot of faith. Okay, but God opened up doors out of nowhere. I had no idea that he was coming in the way that he was going to come in. Okay, so I'm telling y'all right now, walking by faith isn't walking by certainty. Walking by faith is not walking by sight. Walking by faith is trusting in the word of the Lord over what your surroundings say. Now I'm going to end the podcast here, and I pray that y'all have a wonderful week and that this episode has blessed you and helped you in some way. And I do ask that you hit the subscribe button wherever it is you're listening to this podcast and share it. Share it with your friend. Share it with your family member. Share it on your social media. Share it with your group chat. Share this podcast. It really helps. Have a wonderful week, guys. God bless.